Welcome to the study of the sick mind, and today on our first episode we will be talking about criminal psychology and going more in depth about what it is and how it has been useful. And I even got a chance to interview an expert, and we will also be discussing some of the questions that I had asked him. So criminal psychology is basically a study, but this particular study goes deeply into what makes someone commit a crime. And not even just when they commit a crime, but their reactions after they commit the crime. Because usually when people commit a crime, it's because they have been triggered by something, or just they feel as though they need to release that desire, that sadistic mentality that they have, and they want to put all of those fantasies into the real world and just work out and basically just, you know, make their dream come true. And it's, I mean, many of us, we might see it as sick because it is sick and it is perverted, but the thing is that we will never truly understand unless we take the time to see what caused this individual to commit a crime. It might have been something in their past, with friends or with family, or even in school. Because the thing is that certain individuals, is that their minds are very fragile. And they could literally be triggered by anything. Even someone just bumping to them on the street could cause them to have this rage, this burning rage, and this burning desire to hurt that person. And criminal psychology has been around for a very long time. And no one really knows how long it's been around for, but the earliest that I found that it has been talked about or used was in the 1880s, when two physicians, George Philip and Thomas Bond, used crime scene clues to make predictions about British serial murderer Jack the Ripper's personality. And although they were never able to catch him, but it was good to know that there was someone that was trying to figure out why this person was doing what they were doing. And during the 70s and the 80s, there was a lot of, it was just high crime everywhere. I mean, you had David Berkowitz in New York City. Some know him as Son of Sam. He was just going around and shooting people in their cars or even in the middle of the street. Or even Ted Bundy, that had kidnapped, raped, and murdered numerous women, young women and girls, between the age of 16 to 23 during the 1970s and even earlier. But because they were able to study the crimes and the crime scenes and just why they were doing what they were doing. And the thing is that although it might seem as though some killers are just killing randomly, they all have something in common. So a serial killer will always have what they call a signature. So something that fulfills their fantasy, something that makes them happy and that they need to have at every crime scene. Although they want to get away with it and just, you know, pretend as if they will never get caught. Some do eventually get caught and others unfortunately don't. And for Ted Bundy, the reason why they were even able to kill him was because, or not kill him, but capture him, was because of the fact that they studied his crimes and where he would prefer to kidnap the women and capture the women that he was killing and raping and murdering. And it was mostly college campuses, discos, and resorts. And because they were able to study his crime so carefully, that really led to his capture in 1978. And I had a chance to talk to a forensic psychologist and just really get an idea of what every day looks like. And I also had various questions about the job and what it requires of you, because it seems like such a difficult job to just put yourself aside and put yourself in the mind of someone that is just sick and twisted. I just don't understand how some people can do that, and the fact that they have families at home, they have children, they have wives, they have spouses, and it's just like, how can you do that? How can you just walk away from who you are and even like your personal beliefs? Because, you know, obviously there are religious beliefs, and some people could be Catholic, Muslim, Christians. There are just a lot of different religions out there, and it's just like, how can you as an individual put yourself aside to work with someone that is dangerous, is potentially dangerous? And the thing is that criminal psychologists, they're not only there to, you know, just study the person and their background, but also during court cases, they do testify, and in a way, they're there to help the jury understand the criminal and what they have done. And one of the questions that I did ask was, what are some things that you take into consideration when you're presented with a new case? And the expert who I interviewed, he said, always seek the full context of the person's story, which I do agree with, because sometimes you never know why. And that's one of the jobs of a criminal psychologist. It's to understand and to know why things happened the way that they did. And I asked them about how did he manage to live with the knowledge of what he has learned about killers. And he said it's made him more protective of his family and more conscious of how social media needs to be better monitored. And that is 100% correct. The thing is that, you know, when you know something like this, when you know and get a chance to understand what people are truly capable of, you just go on defense mode. You're just, you know, protecting yourself because you know what's out there. And unfortunately, some people just don't know what's out there. And recently, a lot of parents have been more conscious about what their children are, who their children are talking to, what they're doing. But unfortunately, in the early like 70s and 80s, parents didn't really care. They just kind of let their kids do whatever, because they weren't really scared of anything, and because that's what their parents did with them. So that's what they learned. And that's why a lot of the parents that were born in the 70s and the 80s, they knew, like, they've seen all of the stuff that's been going on TV. They knew about all of the killers that were present when they were young. So they just like go into this protective mode to protect their children and protect, you know, what they are seeing in this world. And the thing is also that criminal psychology on television is, like, on TV and shows and movies, is just so watered down from what it really is. Because, you know, in one episode, they get a case and then boom, they just solve it and everyone gets to go home happy. But the thing is that these cases could take weeks, could take days, could take years even to solve. And it can be very frustrating because you want everyone to be safe. You want people to get a chance to live their lives the way that they would want to. And you're doing everything in your power to do so as a criminal psychologist. But it's just like, there's only so much that you can do to protect others. I also did ask him if he would encourage others to study forensic psychology or criminal psychology and why. And he said it takes a special person to work in this field. Forensic psychology brings you into a world of criminal behavior, exposure to violence, and crazy stories of past trauma. If not careful, a psychologist can take that on, and it can be emotionally draining. It's kind of like what I was mentioning a little bit earlier, how it just, you really have to separate yourself from work. You have to separate yourself from whatever you are encountering while you are out there and what you are bringing into your family. And not everyone is capable of not everyone is capable of putting everything in their mind in a particular area and just keeping that separated. Not everyone is capable of being able to just walk into a situation and be like, you know what, I'm going into this, it's not gonna affect me, it's not gonna change my beliefs or anything like that. And I was like, it can be very rough. And I want to go into this field because I feel as though I would want to help people, because as crazy as it may seem, you know, these criminals, yes, they are crazy, but they also need as much help because they didn't have someone that was there to tell them that it wasn't okay to think this way. They didn't have someone that was there to, you know, help them and counsel them, someone that they could rely on. And lastly, I did ask more questions, but I do believe that this question is very important. And I asked, how powerful can the psychological diagnosis of an individual's state of mind can be? And he said, life-altering. A diagnosis can follow you for the rest of your life. I would caution anyone to be sure about what they are observing and diagnosing. You can make human errors and errors in judgment. I really like the fact that he did say you can make human errors and errors in judgment, because as useful as a criminal psychologist may be, or just criminal profiling, sometimes you could be reading into things wrong, or you could be assuming the wrong thing. And it happens. And the thing is that when you are out there as a professional and this is what you're doing, it's less likely that people will accept the fact that you have made a mistake and then just been like, you know, it's whatever, it's fine. Because someone's life is in your hands. Sometimes it could be multiple people's lives in your hands, and you have to determine whether that person is really guilty of what they have done, or if it was really them. Because sometimes, you know, in very rare cases, some people do admit to committing crimes when they have really not done anything. Or even, like, you know, a lot of people have been wrongfully accused overall because evidence led to them, and, you know, it's like they can't do anything about it because they don't have anything to prove their innocence. So it's just like you have to be careful of what you are paying attention to, especially as a criminal psychologist. And for criminal psychology, I think you can get like a bachelor's degree, and which is just regular 4 years. And then for master's programs is 2 more years. And then for a doctoral program takes about 5 years. And, you know, I would recommend this particular job to, you know, people. But the thing is that if you're not careful enough, you could end up damaging yourself, damaging your mind, damaging who you are and your life at home, because you simply just don't know how to balance it all out. And although it can be very difficult, but I would just encourage people to be careful and be very mindful of what they are paying attention to. And, you know, although a lot of people in day and age have been paying a lot of attention to true crime and watching TV shows and movies and listening to podcasts about it, not everyone can really take in that sort of trauma or take in the sort of information about how gruesome some of these murders can be and just how psychologically damaging it can be. So, you know, just be careful out there and you know, just be mindful too of where you're getting this information, because sometimes, you know, you could be getting this information from actual people, or you could be reading a book. Just make sure that you are, you know, getting all of that from a credible source, and, you know, knowing that it is true, and knowing that, you know, it's not a joke anymore. It's really important, because, you know, seeing a movie that says it's based on a true story is one thing, but these are actual murders. These are actual people's lives. These are mothers or fathers, sisters and brothers. These are people that, you know, led a normal life and were suddenly taken away by someone who was more powerful than them at that point. So just be very mindful of the fact that these are real people. So yeah, and thank you guys for tuning in to this first episode, and I hope that you are safe with the information that you are learning about true crime and not risking your own sanity, like, over, you know, true crime. Always be careful of and very mindful of what you are doing and its effects on other people. So, bye guys.